The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When I was in high school, I had the opportunity to get certified as a lifeguard. This became my summer job for years, the thing I would do to make my driving money or my hanging out with friends money. And it usually happened in the evenings and weekends, so it was a sweet gig for a high school student. I went on to lifeguard at college as my work study job, lifeguarding for the open swims or whatever took place at the college. I actually got trained as a lifeguard as a class in school. All right, if I'm honest, I took lifeguarding as a replacement for gym class because I didn't actually want to run around and get sweaty and play dodgeball and not know if I was going to get picked for the team. I would rather dive down to the bottom of a 12-foot pool to rescue someone who had a pretend spinal injury than play dodgeball. I'm not sure what that says about me, but it's what happened. But in all seriousness, part of taking the class was that we would practice every type of rescue that could be needed. Someone who was struggling just to kind of keep their head above water, all the way to a severe spinal injury of someone who needed to be strapped to a backboard and pulled out of the water. We had fun practicing these rescues, maybe even not taking it very seriously, because it was our classmates. We didn't normally strap them to a blackboard and pull them out on a regular day of school, so we'd get kind of the giggles if we had to do this for each other. We'd make it fun and somewhat downright ridiculous, because at the end of the day, it was practice. It wasn't real. We weren't injured, and we weren't helping injured people. But we practiced so that we could prepare ourselves for real injuries, real wounds, and real people. Jesus is known as many things throughout our scriptures. Teacher, or Rabuni, Rabbi, is the common one whenever he's alive. But we also go with Messiah, Savior, Lamb of God, Emmanuel, the Good Shepherd, right? There's shepherd language in the bell choir piece. The Bridegroom, Prince of Peace, Branch of Jesse, and so on and so on. But one of those identities is as the healer, the great physician. And we have so many good stories of Jesus intentionally or unintentionally healing people. The blind man with the mud on his eyes, the paralytic man by the pool of Bethesda, the hemorrhaging woman who touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and certainly the way we hear today's story about Peter's mother-in-law. Now, if I'm honest, I always get a little bit anxious when I hear these healing stories because there's no shortage of people in my life today who deserve just as much of the radical healing that we hear about in Jesus' ministry. We hear these stories of Jesus' hands or spit or robe, and yet I don't expect that to happen in the same radical way in my life. I don't expect to hear the story of someone being lowered into a roof just so that Jesus can touch them and make them well. I don't expect to hear the story of a person who is dead only to be brought back to life because of Jesus. Now, maybe you have stronger faith than I do, and I'm just weak and suspicious. Maybe I just think I'm unworthy of hearing these stories. But I think it makes me uncomfortable because what do we do when it's someone we love, whose body we desperately want to make well, and it seems like Jesus is nowhere in sight. What do we do when we set up Jesus to be a transactional healer and it doesn't happen for our bodies, or the body of our spouse, or the body of our child, or the body of our friend? Well, Jesus is the ultimate healer and the great physician, and he has done radical healing of mind, body, and spirit. I think it's also important to look at the other characters in the story. Sure, we have Peter's mother-in-law, who is in bed with a fever, and probably Simon and Andrew, because it's their house, and then James and John, as well as the whole city at the door. Did you catch that? The whole city pressing against the door for healing. There is no shortage of people who need healing in Jesus' time, in the same way that there's no shortage of us now who are pressing up for healing, seeking to be made whole. So, you know, there are a few folks around. But in the 10 verses that it takes to tell this story, remember, Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels, right? Mark is like, let's get down to business and immediately be done. There's only one verse that refers to Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. It says, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. That's it. At least for her. That's all it took. We get one other sentence when the city is at the door. And Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And these are absolutely important and integral to understanding Jesus' healing of people. But there were like 8.5 other verses that are not included here. And those verses also refer to some other healings that take place. Did you catch what those other parts were? They told him about her. She began to serve. They brought to him all who were sick. The whole city was gathered at the door. They found him. The whole city describes people who are known by name, like Brian and Joy and John, but also people who weren't known by name. But they were people who showed up, people who did something, people who talked to Jesus on behalf of somebody else in pain, people who served their community after being made well of their own healing, people who brought others to Jesus to be healed, literally carrying people on their backs or in their arms to this great healer. People who gathered. People who looked for Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but for as much as I am hesitant to claim this magical healing Jesus when I'm going through something, I can resonate with the people. The people who tell, the people who serve, who bring, who gather, and who look. That makes sense to me. These are my people. These are the people that I can understand, who will crowd into a space to advocate for their friends, their spouse, or their child. As people of faith, as Christ followers, as Christians, our invitation to follow Jesus and to live is to live a Christ-like life. But that's hard, because we're not Jesus. Sorry if that's a scary realization for anybody, but like, we are not Jesus himself as the healer. But I think when the people who are seeing these radical healings face to face, who are meeting the people whose bodies change in an instant, when I hear what they were doing, then that's where I feel my calling as a follower of Jesus. Not to be Jesus or to be the healer. We have our God for that. But our job, our calling, our invitation is to be the people of God, to be the people who tell, who serve, who bring, who gather, and look. That when we or someone we love is wounded, broken, cast out, hated, condemned, or collapsed on the ground with nothing left to give, that's where our work begins. To tell Jesus about these wounds, maybe bring it in prayer. To serve each other out of our own healing, to take our own stories, our own ways of being met with God, and to serve others, to bring others into community, to gather at the door and press our ears close, and to look for the healing work of Jesus each and every day. And this work is not always big and dramatic. It's not always going to be the spinal rescues on the bottom of the pool with an unconscious person. Sometimes it's someone who's lost their way and is maybe a little bit deeper than they realized. Sometimes it's simply extending a hand for comfort, for stability, for encouragement. Sometimes it's as little as a Band-Aid, providing just a bit of protection for an open wound. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, God Emmanuel, Alpha and Omega, the Great Physician. And we, as God's people, who show up in relationship with each other to seek our own healing, while also gathering and looking for Christ each and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.